Somebody had been praying. We keep trying different things, and it seems to work until Sunday morning. So we figured Satan doesn't like that organ very much or something. Or maybe he likes it too much. Hebrews. We're in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be continuing on our trek through Hebrews as we continue through the book. Hebrews chapter 10, it was, who'd we go see? We went to see Gene and Mary Jo Friday. We went down to Quincy, see Gene and Mary Jo. And they're, you know, they're missing home. They're missing home, like Neva. They wish they could be home. But it was fun because we went down there, and I think it was Gene that said, "So where are you at preaching?" I said, "I'm in Hebrews." He said, "You were there when we were there a long time ago." So while I'm hurrying, I'm trying to hurry. But keep them in prayer. They're getting along down there, and they have their kids close by, so that helps, their grandkids. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me read from the first four verses this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 1. "For the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year after year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your truth, your word. Thank you, Father, that we can dwell on your word, see your word, and love your word. Father, thank you that we can learn from your word, for your word is truth. Lord God, I pray that as we see what you have for us here, we would recognize that Father, religion isn't what we need. A relationship is what we need. And Lord God, your relationship, the relationship we have with you, comes through Jesus Christ. And Father, what he did once for all has completed us. And we're so grateful. We're so thankful. Help us to be so grateful, Lord, that we live that out in our life. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Where we are in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is writing to a group of a church. He's writing to people who, some of them at least, were wanting to get out of the church. They wanted to go back under a religious system, back under the Judaistic system, the system that had been around for over 1,000 years. They wanted to get back under that because they were being persecuted, and it would have been easier on them. But the problem that they had, what this writer is trying to show them, is that Christ is superior to that religious system. He's superior to the prophets that were part of that, the angels that were part of that. He's superior to Moses, which was a big part of the religious system. He's superior to all of these things. So we come to the problem. The true problem isn't the persecution. It isn't any of that. The true problem is unbelief. They were not believing. We find that out in chapter 6. So he's presenting Jesus Christ as a high priest, and he's doing that because that's what the Judaistic system knew. They knew about high priests. So he's presented Christ as a high priest under a different order, under the order of Melchizedek. And he compares, we get to chapter 8, and he compares the old covenant to the new. That old covenant was a religious, I call it a religious system, you know, but the old covenant wasn't made to be a religious system, but they had made it into a religious system. They had formed it into a religious system. In fact, they had added over 660 laws to the law that God gave to try and make it doable. But it was never given to be doable. But what we learned is that Christ is a better sacrifice. It was through an oath given to a son that God is now working. he's a better sacrifice than the sacrifices that were given, the animal sacrifices. We learn that forgiveness is through the blood, it's through a death, that our high priest is, he has entered into heaven on our behalf, and he's given us heart cleansing, not just a bodily ceremonial cleansing. But what we learned the last several weeks is that Jesus died once for all, and he suffered one time, never to die again. He put an end to the mastery of sin. And we'll talk about that a little later. But he appears again. He's going to appear again for salvation without reference to sin, having nothing to do with sin because he's already taken care of that issue. So he's going to appear again on the second coming to show the salvation, show people that salvation is true, that what he said was true. What we're going to look at today is the inadequacy of a religious system. The inadequacy of a religious system. The first thing we'll look at is the law, verse 1. It says, "For the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near." The law. Now the law was the backbone of the Jewish religion. The law was what they put everything, all their credence on. It was like any religious system. Any religious system, even today, you have rules. You have rules in a religious system. You have to perform a certain way. Well, the law was that performance. And the law, according to Romans chapter 7, was perfect. The law was absolutely perfect. The law was given not to help people become good. You see, that's what is so confusing with so many people. They see a religious system, and if they can just perform, and so often we see religion as our way to get to God, our way to be good enough for God, so that any God, I'm talking about any religious system, whatever God is ahead of that religious system, there's always a list of demands, a list of rules to be good enough for that God. Well, in this religious system, what they had made into a religious system in this Judaistic system was based on the law. And the law was holy. The law was perfect. The law was given by the true God. So there was nothing wrong with the law. The law was perfect. But the law was never given to make people perfect. In fact, we see in Romans chapter 5 that the law was given to show us our inadequacies, to show us our sin. It says the law in Romans 5, it says the law came in so the transgression would increase. So that we could see when God said, What did he say? There's some good ones. Thou shalt not kill. There we go. Duh, what's the Ten Commandments here? I couldn't think of it. Right? Thou shalt not kill. When he says thou shalt not kill, that's perfection. There's a rule. And if we could go through life and perfectly not kill, and the problem was Jesus made it a heart issue in the Sermon on the Mount, remember? And he said, if you even hate your brother, you've killed him in your heart. You've already gone against that. So what the law did was show us that we can never, ever, ever, ever be good enough. We can never attain to that perfection. But that law, being perfect, was given to help us see that we needed a Savior. But the law was the basis of their religious system. And look what it says, it was a shadow. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come. A shadow of them. Now remember what we talked about? The temple, the tabernacle that was there? It said that it was a copy and a shadow. So the things on earth are a copy, they're a shadow. They aren't what's true. So if I held my hand over there and you saw a shadow, well, that shadow has no substance. That shadow has nothing you can grab hold of. So what he's talking about is the things in heaven, the things that are true, the things that are absolute, there's something you can grab hold of. But these things here, the things that these people wanted to go back under to try and be good enough for God, to try and get away from persecution, to try anything they could to make life easier, because they didn't truly believe. These things here, that wasn't something they could grab. That was shadows. That was just a copy. And he says, even the law, it has all of these copies, all of these shadows, things without substance. there's a contrast here. And by the way, what's the shadows of the law was what is good. It says it right there. says a shadow of the good things to come. But look what it says, not the very form of things. So the contrast is between shadow and very form. The word shadow is skia in the original, in the Greek. And it means a shady shadow, a vague shadow. It doesn't mean a sharp shadow. It means something very vague, something very shady. So it's hard to see, a hard to see shadow. But the very form is eikon. And it means an exact image, an exact likeness, an exact, something that's exact. So here we're contrasting the old covenant being a vague shadow and the new covenant being an exact image, something that's exact. And look what it says about that shadow. It says, can never, and that word can never is that word dunamos. It's got dunamos, which is not having power. Dunamos, the word we get dynamite from, have explosive power, dynamite. It says, has no power, absolutely no explosive power. This, the law, it contains a shadow of things, but it has no power to do what? Can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer year by year, make perfect those who draw near. So it can never make perfect by those sacrifices. You say, well, you know, what about those sacrifices? Well, I got to reading about the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was once a year, and we talked about that earlier. We went through what the high priest did. But that was when he went into the Holy of Holies. There was a week-long Passover. Okay? There was a week-long Passover. And at the time of Passover, what they celebrated was when they left Egypt. Okay? And so they would come to Jerusalem. There was a pilgrimage coming to Jerusalem. And they would bring their lambs, their unblemished lambs, for a sacrifice for their families. And it's estimated that during that week, the temple would sacrifice somewhere around 100,000 lambs. Think about that. 100,000 lambs were sacrificed during that week. Say, well, boy, that would be hard. You know, you have to sacrifice. There were a lot of priests. There was a lot of priests. It was a whole tribe of priests. But you have 100,000. You had blood going down that altar, and they dug a ditch out. You had blood flowing in that ditch. It was flowing. So the people could see blood flowing from the temple all the time. Especially during that week, all the time, the people saw that blood flowing. And when they saw that blood flowing, they were reminded again and again and again of their sin. They were reminded of that sin. And all of those sacrifices, all of those going on, it says here in verse 1, it could never, year after year, they could never, by these same sacrifices, make perfect those who draw near. The word make perfect literally means to complete, make complete or succeed fully. To make complete or succeed fully. And by the way, what was demanded and what is demanded? Let's put it this way. What is demanded of you to enter heaven? You have to be perfect. You realize that? The law says you have to be perfect. So all of us are shot, right? We're all out, right? Yes, we are if we don't have the blood of Christ. Because there was one man who lived on this earth perfectly. His name was Jesus Christ. And he died and rose again on our behalf. And the Bible says that he became sin for us that we might become, have the opportunity to become subjunctive, have the possibility of becoming the righteousness of God in him. So when we trusted in Christ, we are as righteous as God. Don't throw rocks. Don't get mad and throw rocks at me. That's what the Bible says. We have the righteousness of God on us. Go figure. Because you all can look at me and say, I know better than that. He doesn't have the righteousness. Well, I do. Spiritually, I have the righteousness of God. Does that mean I never sin? No. No, that's not, has anything to do with sin because Christ has forgiven my sin. But I can only get to heaven if I have God's righteousness. And that is given through Jesus Christ. And that's why these sacrifices, and he's trying to show these people that, look, what you want to go back under is insufficient. It's insufficient. The blood of these sacrifices given over and over will never make you complete, never make you fully succeeded. And in Christ, we are complete. We have fully succeeded in Christ, but only in Christ. That is our only hope of salvation. And that's why we as Christians, we have such a great hope. And it's not like, oh, I hope it's not going to rain again. No, it's a steadfast assurance, knowing that what God says is true because of Christ. Not because I'm good enough, but because of Christ. Not because what I've done, but because of Christ, what he has done. Look what it says. It says, make perfect those who draw near. And by the way, when he says those who draw near, he was talking about those who draw near to these sacrifices, those who were actually doing them, those who were participating, those who were sincere in their belief system, and yet they were sincerely wrong if they were wanting to make that religion their salvation. So there's the law. It's a religious, it became a religious system. It wasn't made to be a religious system, but it became a religious system. Because the Pharisees said, look, you can obey the law, you can get to heaven. They tried to propagate that, even though they themselves were not good enough. Let's look at the goal, verses 2 and 3. Look at the goal. Otherwise, we're talking about that system, otherwise they would not have ceased to be offered. They would otherwise... They not, oh, okay. Can anybody read that? Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? There we go. Let's do it in English. My dyslexic's going really good today here. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered because the worshipers, those who were sincere in their faith, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. So he says, otherwise, this should have happened. Otherwise, that lamb should have been sacrificed, and that would have been good enough. If that could have been good enough, that should have been good enough, because that's what happened with Christ. But these worshipers were the ones who were trying to follow. And look what it says in verse 2. Otherwise, they would not have, would they, boy, this is bad, would they not have ceased to be offered because the worshipers having once, and that word once, literally, in the original language, it's once for all. They would once for all times, once for all time, have been cleansed. Having once for all been cleansed, because that should have done it, right? But that couldn't do it, because it was the blood of animals. It wasn't the blood of Jesus Christ they were talking about. Look what it says. If that would have been good enough, then they would no longer have had consciousness of sins. Consciousness of sins in what realm, in what way? Because you and I are conscious of our sins, right? But we're not conscious of the condemnation of sin at this point. You know why? Because Jesus Christ took the condemnation of sin upon himself so that we wouldn't have to. We are conscious of when we sin, but we're not conscious of the condemnation of sin because he no longer condemns us for our sin. We're still conscious of our sin. This is, by the way, this is a contrasting truth of the old covenant to the new, of this religious system to the new covenant. Excuse me. Because we're conscious of our sins. We know when we've sinned. In fact, the Spirit within us convicts us of sin. He doesn't condemn us for sin. He convicts us and shows us that we're sin so that we can make it right with each other. We're never condemned here because of our sin. God doesn't view us any different because we sin. Now that's an interesting point. Romans chapter 8 says, and I want to show you this. I would love to read all of this. It's so good. Romans chapter 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There it is. There is no condemnation. So the consciousness of being condemned because of our sin, which is what they saw every year, every time they took a sacrifice, they saw condemnation. They had this innocent lamb, this unblemished lamb that they took, and their sins were ceremonially transferred onto this lamb, and that lamb died because of their sin. So there was the consciousness of condemnation. They saw that lamb condemned. They saw death. They saw blood. Every time, year after year after year, those sacrifices, all they did was remind them that they were not good enough. That they were never good enough. And those sacrifices, all that was given by the law. The law was given to condemn us. To absolutely condemn us because of our sin. That's what the law does. And it's God's perfect law. So all of that they did, the writer here is saying, look, you don't want to get back under that. You want to see it for what it is. It's a reminder year after year. That's what verse 3 says. It's a reminder. Boy, if I could read that with glasses. There we go. But in these sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins year by year. It's just simply a reminder that you are not good enough. It says in Romans 8, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I would love to go on. This is so good. I'm running out of time. Romans 8. Read it. It's really good. But you know, the problem with that is many people say, well, that's great. So the consciousness of sins, because we're not conscious of the condemnation of sin anymore, so therefore, since I am not condemned because of my sin, I can do whatever I want. That is looking at truth through the eyes of your flesh. When we look at God's truth through the eyes of our flesh, we say, oh, well, now since God doesn't hold these sins against me as far as condemning me anymore, I can just live any way according to the flesh that I want. But you know, in Romans chapter 5, it said that the transgression was, or that the law was given to make our sin worse, more showing. And it said, but every time that sin gets worse, grace gets even better. And then chapter 6, what's it say? So, well, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? What is it? Meganoita. Meganoita. May it never be. May it absolutely never. It can't be. Why? How shall we who have died to sin continue to live in it? Okay, so there's the spiritual mindset. The spiritual mindset says, you know what? God has forgiven me of sin and he will never condemn me again. So I am so grateful. I want to serve him. There's a heart attitude that God's seeking. I want to serve him. Not I have to under the law. Not I have to under a religious system. Not I have to under a church system. But I get to serve God because of what he has done for me. And I'm no longer condemned. So there's the consciousness of sin that he's talking about here. And if those sacrifices, those animal sacrifices could have done that, they wouldn't have been worried so much about what God was going to do to them. Because under the old covenant system, under a religious system, any religious system, if you do bad, you're shot. If you do bad, you're cursed. If you do good, you're blessed. That's what the old covenant said. Do what is right, I'll bless you. Do what is wrong, I'll curse you. But then Christ took the curse for us. Isn't that cool? We have Christ who took the curse for us. We have his blood on our account. So God doesn't look at us anymore. He looks at us as though he's looking at his own son. I'm saying heretical things that sound so heretical to me, you know, because I am so not worthy of this. You are too. Can't fool me. You're as not worthy as me. But you know what? He loves us anyway. He gave his son so that he can look at us and not condemn us. So these folks always had a consciousness of sins. Sin was ever before them. The blood was flowing all the time. They had to sacrifice again and again and again because there was always sin. When we go before God, we come boldly into the throne room of God. Because there is not sin. Because there is not a consciousness of condemnation. Because God doesn't change his mind about us when we sin. He loves us so much that he sent his son, and when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we receive him into our heart, when we choose to follow him, Then he likes us, but as soon as we sin after that, he condemns us. You see, that's the old covenant system. That's a religious system. And this is what he is trying to show these folks, that you know what? You don't have to live under that fear. You don't have to live under that condemnation, that consciousness of sin in a condemning way. You don't have to live under that because God absolutely loves you. I don't even know where I am on my notes. But wherever it is, this is where we're at. He absolutely loves you. In verse 3, it says, but these sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins year by year. The priests were always sacrificing over and over and over. And that blood was running all the time. You know what Jesus did? He sat down at the right side of the right hand of the Father. Remember that verse? Sat down. There aren't any seats in the temple because the work's never done. Christ sat down because the work is done. It's done. He did it once for all. Look at that last verse. Look at the principle here, the basic principle. For it is impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away sins. For it is impossible. You know what? It's not hard. It's not a hard thing to do. It's not a difficult thing to do. It is absolutely impossible. It is absolutely, he's trying to convince these folks that, you know what? What you've got here in Christ is so much greater than what you've got under that old covenant system. Because it is impossible for that to complete you. It is impossible for that to make you succeed fully. It's totally impossible. Totally impossible. And because of that, it says that principle. It's impossible for what? The blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. They'll never take away sin. Sin's a hard issue. The animal sacrifices were part of the ceremonial cleansing of the body. But Jesus puts away sin. Remember what we looked at? He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He gives us a new heart. He did what no other sacrifice could do. He did what no other religious system could do. He conquered sin and death. And he gives us the victory over sin and death. We see that in Romans chapter 8. I wanted to go on so bad. You guys have to read that this week. Romans 8. Write it down. Read it this week. It's really good. Read the whole chapter. Religious systems always demand. You realize that? Religious systems always demand something of you. Christianity offers something to you. Christ offers something to you. He doesn't demand anything. He takes our dead, worthless bodies and revives them and makes them alive in Jesus Christ. He offers forgiveness. He offers eternal life. He offers spiritual power. He offers spiritual gifts. He offers true life. That's what he offers in salvation. Don't trust in a religious system. Don't, whatever you do, don't make this a religious system. Don't make this church a religious system. That's a bad thing to do. Because you're going to be really confused because I don't have a whole lot of rules. I can make some up. You know, about fishing especially. But it wouldn't be a good one, probably. I mean, it would be good. But it wouldn't be good enough. Right? Don't make this a religious system. People can't. You can make anything a religious system. People can make anything. Atheists can have a religious system. You realize that, right? A religious system that you can't believe in God. Right? Anyone can have a religious system. But those religious systems are never, ever, 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 ever good enough. They demand something of you where God wants to give you something. New life. Eternal life. Even this Jewish system, which had a perfect law, had what God viewed as perfect, it was only a picture of the truth. And it wasn't even good enough to save you. It was there for a reason. It wasn't to save, it was to point to salvation, point to what Jesus Christ. That was those lambs that were being sacrificed, that was to point to the perfect Lamb of God. All of those pictures that were there to point. But folks, don't trust in a religious system. Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in a relationship, the relationship you can have with him. And that's salvation. That's what it is. Christ died for you according to the scriptures. He rose again according to the scriptures, and he did so that you can have eternal life. If you've never trusted in Christ, please accept his love today, accept Christ as your Savior, as your Lord today, as in charge of your life, I'd love to show you from Scripture how you can have that relationship. If you have trusted in him, he has already dealt with sin for all time, once for all, he's dealt with it. He has no longer condemns us. He no longer condemns us for our sin. We see that in chapter 8. He gives us new life. So live that life for him. Live that life for him. Let him live his life through you because he loves you completely. Don't live for him because you have to. Live for him because of what he has done for you. And definitely, definitely don't let your freedom in Christ lead you to a license to sin. Look to what you can accomplish for God, letting him accomplish it through you because of what he's done to you and for you. Why do we love him? Because we have to. Because if we don't, we're going to get whipped. No, we love him because he first loved us. So learn how much he loves you, and you will love him. Isn't that cool? Love the way Scripture puts us together. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you so much that your love is true. Your system of a relationship is so much greater than a religion. Help us, Father, not to take anything and make a religion out of it, to be good enough so that we can be good enough for you. Father, you can be a preacher and never be good enough. Or you can be not a preacher or a missionary or not a missionary or anything we name, a carpenter. Lord God, we can be whatever we are and be totally and completely complete in you because of Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to remember that. It's not what we do, it's what you have done in us and through us that counts. Help us to rely on truth, on a relationship, not a religion. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.